Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 36 through 34 through 46. You can find this on page 1542 of your pew Bibles. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You may be wondering why I'm standing here and not there. I preach from a manuscript for two reasons. One is that I'm tired and too tired to get through a sermon. The other is that I need to choose my words carefully. I need to choose my words before I speak them. That is today. I often need to ask myself these questions I ask you today. How do you respond when your friends and allies do horrific things? Do you speak up when those who you align yourself with do terrible things? How do you respond when atrocities become politicized and evil becomes a bargaining chip for the powerful? Are you willing to provide witness when you see evil? Or do you cower, or worse, justify as atrocities to protect the atrocious? I chose to preach on this passage today, Sunday, June 24th, 2018, to respond to the world. I rarely choose a passage based solely on my own heart, and rarely reuse a passage so quickly. But the Spirit directs me, and a phrase, "the least of these," has not left my mind in 10 days. I believe we live in a unique and abnormal time with unique and abnormal challenges. Today we have challenges beyond the growing pains of the progression of time and changes in the ordering of society. I sound alarmist to myself, and I want you to know that I doubted the wisdom of including this thought of unique struggle, but I need to say it. Despite the uniqueness and abnormality of our current world and political climate, and the difficult challenges we stare down today, our call remains the same. The call of the gospel does not change, and the example of Christ does not change. I want to reflect deeply on Jesus' words the Spirit placed on my heart. Whatever you did for the least one of these sisters and brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you do for or to the least, you do directly for or to God. Very simple and very convicting. God judges us most strictly on our treatment of the lowest and least among us. Jesus gives a list of the least, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the stranger, which can be translated the exile, the immigrant, the foreigner, or even just the guy who wandered up to you on the street. Each of these qualifies as the least. Your treatment of them is your treatment of God. If we do not dig below the surface of that list, I have nothing to preach about today. We joyfully and intentionally do what we can with what we have here at Grace. We do not always know the exact right course of action, especially now as we discern the practical expression of our mission following Jesus, serving others. But we strongly desire to help. We feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, provide resources to clothe the naked, and we open our doors to the stranger. We desire to joyfully help and comfort the least of God's children. I do not qualify that, and I do not downplay that. I will not take that away from this congregation. We desire to help and comfort the least of God's children. Let us start to dig below the surface of that. Nothing on that list immediately strikes an uncomfortable nerve. We just fill in the blank of why that Christ left blank with innocent neediness. But Jesus makes no mention of innocence or guilt in his list. The list feels different if we fill in the why blank with something else. The hungry, because they gambled their entire paycheck away. The stranger, filled with hate. The thirsty, because they spent the money for the water bill on heroin. The naked, by choice and situation to make money. These seem lower than the innocent struggling to me. They fight losing battles. Battles of sin and battles of illness and addiction. And these battles make them hungry, thirsty, naked, and a stranger. And they cannot claim innocence, at least in part. Jesus did not say the innocent when he said the least, and yet we condemn the guilty whose actions have made them hungry, thirsty, naked, and a stranger. We convince ourselves they deserve their situations and feel sinful in helping them. We can dig deeper. Each of these makes us uncomfortable, but we have not politicized these pains, at least not yet. Let us go a bit deeper. How about these least? the victims of violence and terror, who thirst in the desert, fleeing to a place they believe will provide them hope. Those in rags who hope to find a land of plenty. The hungry who seek a home that does not have abject poverty. The infant stranger ripped from their parents' arms. What do we desire for these least? Do we desire compassion and love for them? Or do we dehumanize them and see them as animals? Should they receive the treatment of people, as human and deserving as us, just in a different situation? Or the treatment of pawns in a vile political game? Do we love them, or do we hate them? I do not speak today of immigration policy. I do know I cannot fully discern the policies of who can and cannot enter our borders. I cannot give you a Christian and scriptural immigration policy for the United States. I believe we must not divide ourselves on political lines in that discussion, but I understand the positions of a completely closed and completely open border, that we must find a policy that does good while providing protection. I do not speak of immigration policy. I speak of policies that dehumanize anyone, that treat humans worse than most dogs, that describe people as roaches, that indefinitely inter anyone, and that do anything to separate a child from their loving and safe parents. Those policies do those things to God because they do those things to the least of God's children that Christ spoke of. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the stranger. Doing harm to the least of us does harm to God. Politicizing harm and insulting outrage at doing harm to the least of us politicizes harm and insults outrage at harm to God. Do you respond in horror? Or do you turn a blind eye and downplay doing harm to the least of God's children? Sometimes we cannot directly help with resources, but we can witness to good and evil and speak out against evil, or we can turn a blind eye. We can feel outrage towards atrocity, or we can ignore forced and intentional pain and suffering and look away. What you do for the least of these, speak up or turn away, you do for God. What are your words and your actions doing for God? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.